We Talk Podcast presents...
It's going to be legend. Wait for it. And I hope you're not lactose intolerant because the second half of that word is dairy.
Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast. Today's another very special episode. I have Mackenzie back on to talk not only about Friends, but How I Met Your Mother and which one's better. So we've set up a little structure. So we'll give an opening statement. We have five categories we'll go through, then closing, and then you will decide via Twitter who had won. So this will be interesting because it really can't put it in each other's hands because I'm going to say I won and you're going to say you won. So it's easier to let other people decide. So I will let you have the first opening statement and then let you go. By the way, Mackenzie is on the How I Met Your Mother side. And I'm on the Friends side, so when she's gonna be arguing for those guys over there, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear anything you said, Joel. I was watching this terrific show, and I cried, and I learned a lot, but I also laughed a lot. The show was called How I Met Your Mother, so I got a little distracted because of how great the show was.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Oh, sorry. Well, let's get back to the podcast because I'll turn off the show, even though it's so hard. So How I Met Your Mother is just an excellent show because, well, okay, I'm not going to lie to you. Friends is my favorite show. But How I Met Your Mother is better because... It was more than a comedy. It had this underlining story that you need to find out who the mother was. There was always just this factor to it that Friends never had. Friends could have ended at season 3 and wouldn't have been a big deal. How I Met Your Mother needed an ending, and it always had just like this underlining tone that you wanted to find out who the mother was.
That's your opening statement?
Yep.
All right.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, no.
I nailed it, so.
Yeah, okay.
What's yours?
Friends will always hold a nice close place in my heart as being that one show that you can always go back to and watch over and over again, and you still laugh at the jokes, you still enjoy those moments. How I Met Your Mother at times was a poor man's Friends. So there are moments where, and I'll get into this more in the podcast, but I just felt that How I Met Your Mother was always not as good as Friends. Friends always was better. And I personally always enjoyed Friends more than How I Met Your Mother, regardless of how it ended. Friends will always be that show where all six of those characters were pretty strong characters, and they constantly had different storylines for these different characters, and had memorable moments for each character. How I Met Your Mother didn't have that. There's maybe one character that was the standout that everyone knows about. Friends has six really strong characters, really six likable characters, and that is my opening statement. Friends, better than How I Met Your Mother.
I can't even argue that right away, though, because we're going to get into the points, even though you have said some pretty idiotic stuff right off the bat. But...
Okay, yeah.
We won't get into that right this second.
Okay, so both of us have given our opening statements, so we have five categories. And since I finished off with the last one, I'll let you go first for the romantic relationships. The romantic relationships are when two characters, two key figures, or two supporting characters get together and become a couple. So for How I Met Your Mother... It would be Marshall and Lily. For Friends, it'd be Chandler and Monica, as an example. So, who had the stronger relationships, Mackenzie?
Well, I think if we're comparing those two characters, I thought we were going to compare all the romantic relationships, that's easier, because my couple obviously beats that one. Monica settled for Chandler, and that was such an obvious thing. She was drunk, someone had just referred her to being Ross's mother, she had dated all the losers in New York. Richard wasn't going to marry her, so she was like, whatever, I'll marry Chandler. She settled for him. Lily and Marshall was this crazy romantic story that they had only ever been with each other. It was this romantic thing that carried the show.
Here's my point against that, is Chandler and Monica, I don't disagree with the settling, because there is a lot of signs that point to Monica did, in fact, settle with Chandler. But it worked with both of them. And you see at points in the series where both of them are very happy with each other. And they both actually very much complement each other. So I don't think it necessarily settled. But maybe that's how it started, where it was kind of like, okay, well, fine, I'll go for this guy that's been there for a while. And as you see, like, the adoption episode, where they find the birth mother, and they're telling, the birth mother freaks out because Chandler and Monica lied about it, and Monica's crushed and devastated. But Chandler goes and talks to her and convinces her that not only are they right for her baby, but they're good people. And you just felt in that moment that Chandler would do anything for Monica, and Monica would do anything for Chandler. So I think
we didn't feel that in that moment. We felt that for Chandler, that he would do anything for Monica, because he's never going to do better than Monica. If a better option came along for Monica, she probably would have taken it. But at the point where a better option did come along, Richard, when he finally came back, she was already too deep in the Chandler hole. Like, she couldn't leave him. That would have wrecked the show. There wouldn't have been a show if she had left him.
That is true. I will give you that. But I think Monica, there are several moments where you see that she very much clicks with Chandler. Like when Monica got hurt and playing ping pong and Chandler stepped in, and Monica just had that admiration that, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this for me. She realizes that no other guy would put up with the craziness of the OCD, the need to clean everything, yet Chandler stands by her, and she knows that, and that's why I think she finally starts to realize that, oh, maybe that these two definitely click together. Marshall and Lily are an unrealistic couple.
No, they're not. They're really not. The way they met, even later in the series, it proves that they didn't actually meet in this crazy romantic way that Lily planned it, and she wanted to meet Marshall. But it's not an unrealistic thing. They stick by each other, and they support each other through their jobs, and they actually fight. They fight, and she leaves him at one point at the end of season one. And I think that proves something, that they were a real couple. Monica should have left Chandler a bunch of times when he did stupid shit, but no, they just talked it out. That doesn't happen. Lily would have left Marshall in real life circumstances because she didn't know what her dreams were yet. They were too young to know that. It's a realistic thing that she would leave him, but it's also realistic that she would come back.
Lily was the weaker member of that relationship.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, she wasn't.
Because she manipulated. She's one of those characters that you actually sit there and look at and you read what she does. You're like, holy crap, she made Marshall give up her dream without much of a conversation. It was like, this is the way it's going to be. How's that fair to Marshall?
Wait, what time are you... What?
Yeah, when Marshall got offered the big job for being a judge, and yeah, Lily wanted to go to Italy, there wasn't
because
much of a choice.
Because she was pregnant. They couldn't leave. She thought that they would have to stay in New York because her parents were there, his parents were near there, that it would be crazy to leave across the country to have a baby in Italy, but that would be crazy. But then you know what the romantic thing is, Joel? That Marshall still went to Italy. Would Chandler went to Italy? Nope.
Oh yeah, Chandler would have gone to
Italy.
Chandler would have followed Monica all across the world if he could.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't prove that. I can prove it because that's what happened.
You can prove that. You can see the characteristic
traits. You can't prove
traits.
That because never were they in a situation. Oh, actually, you know what? They were. Why didn't Monica go to whatever it's called with Chandler? When he went to, where
Tulsa.
Did he go? Tulsa. Why didn't she go with him? Oh, that's right. Because she doesn't really love him.
Okay, just a second to collect my thoughts before
I thought you were prepared for this.
I am prepared for this. Here's the thing with the Tulsa situation with Chandler and Monica.
Maybe he should have just quit his job right away. Why did it take him so long, Joel? She got offered an amazing job. He didn't really care about his job. Why didn't he quit? Why didn't she quit her job to move to Tulsa? Why did she have to stay in New York? Oh, right, because the show wouldn't have worked. The show Friends doesn't care about his characters. It cared about how long the show would last.
Well, I cared about their characters. Here's the thing with the Tulsa situation. It was a compromise. It was a bad compromise. Both of them didn't like it, but it was how it was. Chandler had to go. And at that time, Chandler wasn't in the headspace of like, oh, I can just quit my job. And he wasn't certainly going to tell Monica to give up her job and just follow him. That was the plan, but he even said, I can't do that to you, and I'm not going to make you come with me to Tulsa. So you do your job here, and we'll find the compromise, and I'll show up when I can and be there for you, and then when I can't, I'll be at work. Ultimately, it becomes too hard, and he does, in the end, choose Monica over his job.
If he really loved Monica, he would have chose her right away. Just like Marshall chose Lily right away.
He did choose Monica.
No, he didn't, because he went to Tulsa. You can't say that he chose her when he left to Tulsa.
He had a job commitment that he had to make, and it wasn't a good one.
Marshall had a job commitment, and he still left.
Chandler's more responsible than Marshall.
You can't say that. One of them stuck through the law school. The other one didn't even care about their job. Marshall's way more responsible than Chandler is. That's true. He made it through law school. He supported a family when she wanted to be an artist.
Here's my final point on this.
Okay.
Because my head's going to start spinning. It's going to start, it'll pop off my body. Anyways.
Because I'm right.
No, you're not right. If we compare the relationship, Chandler and Monica are better overall than Marshall and Lily.
Though, because it's this romantic thing, the thing that would never happen, and it's incredible that it happened. TV isn't supposed to be realistic. It's supposed to take you out of your real world.
That's true, but at the same time, you don't want to build these unrealistic ideas of...
But they have realistic couples in the show, and they needed that, like, crazy fantasy couple in there to make it a TV show. Ross and Rachel aren't realistic either, but yet they made the TV show.
Yeah, they were the foundation of Friends.
Exactly.
But even then, there's some realistic elements to Ross and Rachel.
Oh, no, there's not.
Oh, yes, okay. There is.
You think about your high school crush. Are you currently living next door? Is she currently living with your sister, Joel? Is that happening?
No, not at all.
No, it's not. It's not. And are you going to end up marrying her, probably, after she leaves her dream job for you?
She didn't necessarily give up her dream job.
Yes, she did. All the women in Friends have to give up, like, their dreams for the men. It is a little bit sexist. Pulling the feminism card.
Well, Monica didn't have to give up her job. She still got to keep her job.
Okay, because Monica was the pants in that relationship. And that is what I'm trying to say, is that they were not equal partners. Marshall and Lily were.
Marshall and Lily weren't equal partners. Lily ran that ship. Again.
No. You just said a while ago that she didn't. You're changing what you said.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said that she was so easy to give up her job to stay in New York.
I said she was manipulative. And she, like you even said a while back, you said she manipulated so that the two of them would meet. She manipulated Ted's relationships as well. When she didn't like someone, she found a way to get rid of them. She told Marshall, this is how things are going to be. Same thing with Chandler and Monica.
Monica never did that?
And that's my point. They're both equal in that. Monica did the exact same Lily did.
Characters, Lily is closest to Phoebe. She is not closest to Monica.
In a manipulation way, yes. They are very similar.
Not even a little bit, though, because Monica was more bossy and she didn't do things like in that sneaky, funny way that Lily did.
But there was the need to be sneaky and funny. At least Monica was upfront about things.
There was a need to be sneaky and funny because it made the TV show funny. You're forgetting that these are TV shows and they needed laugh. It needed laughs. They needed to be funny.
Yeah, but even still, actually looking at their characters, Lily's not that great.
That's a terrible thing to say.
No, yeah, I know. It's a terrible thing to say, and you know it's a terrible thing to say because it's true.
It's not true. You know who's a terrible person? Monica. She just used Chandler because he was a willing guy. She just wanted a family. That's all she wanted. She didn't care who it was with.
Then the whole thing when Chandler's talking about everything that he dreams for their lives, and that's what Monica wants as well. That's
exactly.
Not settling. That's going...
That's settling. Any guy can
Chandler
give it
wanted
for
that as well.
I don't know if he really did. Because in all the other seasons, he doesn't talk about that. And then suddenly he wants this? That's a little... It's a little unusual.
We'll get to the writing in the season. All right. So the next subject, we're going to put a nice little push off to the side, the romantic relationships. The next thing. The next section is longevity. So, can you go back and watch the show over and over again, and can you enjoy it? And I think you can start. You're just going to start everything. How about that?
Okay, fair enough. Here's the thing. Friends always made these references, and like I don't. Maybe it's because I'm so much younger than you, and you're such an old man, that I don't understand them as much. But the thing is, How I Met Your Mother didn't make a bunch of references because they showed the timeline. So they didn't want to throw anyone off. So they didn't make a bunch of references, which is why the show in 20 years will still be funny, because you won't have to learn all these new references and actors that they're talking about. Friends constantly talked about actors and references that no one's going to get in 20 years.
Oh, they're going to get in 20 years.
No, they're not. People don't even know who Winona Ryder is right now, and they talk about her a lot on that show.
It took me a while to figure out who the, when they're talking about the chick and the duck, and they're watching Baywatch. But you know the show Baywatch. You have a general idea what it is, and they show images
of it. Right now we do.
I barely have a clue what Baywatch is. I just know that there's pretty girls running in slow-mo. And that's all you need to know. And it explains why Chandler and Joey are glued to the TV with the chick and the duck. There's sometimes where you have these pop culture references, and How I Met Your Mother had pop culture references in there, too. So that
they did. I know that. I'm not saying that they didn't, but they had less because they were dealing with a difficult timeline and that they couldn't really talk about a lot of different things because it was hard sometimes to know which year they were supposed to be in.
And that will be brought up in the writing of the series. But the longevity, Friends, the first episode of the 1994 one, I can still watch today, and I can still laugh and enjoy.
And you can't watch the first How I Met Your Mother episode and do the same? I do that all the time, and I love it. I can rewatch the entire series of How I Met Your Mother and not get bored. It's still entertaining. Friends, I can fall asleep too. It's nice. I love Friends. You know that. But How I Met Your Mother keeps me awake because I keep watching it, and it's like it drags you in.
I fall asleep during How I Met Your Mother.
That's a lie. You're just saying that because I said it about Friends. You did not come prepared. You're just stealing the things that I said.
Oh, okay. No, I went back, and I'll always do this thing where I'll watch a series once, and then I'll watch it again. Breaking Bad, I watched several times over, but that's a story for a different day. How I Met Your Mother, I got to the third season, and I just kind of stopped watching it. I was like, this doesn't appeal to me anymore. I've seen all the episodes. I kind of know where everything's going. I'm kind of like, it's there. If I want to sit and watch little segments, not a full episode, but little segments, I can go back and watch it. Friends, I'm on my sixth rewatch of it, just because it's always there that I can throw on when I'm working or doing stuff. And I can
Is that because you own it, though? You do own Friends, do you not?
Well, it's on Netflix, so.
And so is How I Met Your Mother. And when I'm doing homework, I can just turn on How I Met Your Mother and do the same thing. I would do that over Friends because Friends, that's like, it's just background noise now. I've seen them so many times. It's over. It's done with. It was how many years ago, Joel? You need to let go.
I think the biggest thing that impacts that Friends is how much it was in syndication and how much channels just played the episodes over and over and over again.
They do that with How I Met Your Mother now, too. You go onto your TV right now, I guarantee you there's an episode of How I Met Your Mother on.
So,
and there are no episodes of Friends.
It's because it's that little bit of phase where sometimes you gotta move on, and you can't keep... The stations can't keep running the same show over and over and over and over and over
again. They can if it's good.
No, they can't. I disagree. I think if in a couple of years, How I Met Your Mother, you're going to be like, it's there. It's going to be that background noise again. But then people will always go back and go, well, we can watch. And Friends has so many memorable episodes.
So does How I Met Your Mother. You've already said this. And this does go into a little bit of the writing, too, but we can talk about it now. Friends and How I Met Your Mother has just as many memorable moments. You can't say that there isn't. Yes, they do.
I sit there, and this is what I was doing the last couple days. I was like, okay, what are the memorable episodes of How I Met Your Mother?
Do you want me to tell you right now?
Yeah, go ahead, because I couldn't
think
of it.
The intervention episode. As soon as you see that white banner with the red writing, you're like, How I Met Your Mother. The goat thing, when Ted got attacked by a goat. How I Met Your Mother. The Pineapple, How I Met Your Mother, The Blue French Horn episode, How I Met Your Mother, and The Yellow Umbrella that carried the entire show. As soon as you see any couple standing with a yellow umbrella, you automatically think How I Met Your Mother, because that was a standout moment for that show. What does Friends have that's like the yellow umbrella? Nothing.
Because they didn't need a yellow umbrella. That's the biggest difference. That show could, like, the episode with the chick and the duck, the episode with the embryo, the one with Chandler and Monica's wedding, the one...
But why are those things memorable? They're memorable to you because you watched the show. If I was talking to someone who hadn't seen How I Met Your Mother or Friends, and I said the yellow umbrella, they would know I'm talking about How I Met Your Mother because it's a pop culture reference.
If you said the chick and the duck, people would know exactly what you meant.
No, they wouldn't. They would be like, oh, is that like a show about farm animals?
It's just like saying the umbrella. The yellow umbrella might not mean something to someone. They might see it and go, what's the yellow umbrella? What's the blue French horn? But people will still sit there, and I heard the quote at work of someone saying, oh, she's your lobster. Where's that from?
Said it at work. Was it Kirk? Because Kirk's 1,000 years old, Joel. He was alive when Friends came out. So why don't you try that one? I go to university. You know how many people talk about How I Met Your Mother? Everybody.
Because those are the people that grew up with How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly. It's a new generation. Wake up, Grandpa.
That's the first time I've ever been called Grandpa. I don't know how I feel about
getting
this.
Getting old.
I think the longevity, I think both shows do have some longevity to them.
They both have that factor that, like, talked about that you can turn it on and you can watch it, or you can something else while you're watching it, and then, like, you won't miss anything. But they both have that going for them.
But I think Friends has a little bit longer of longevity because of the characters, because of the plot, because it's so easy to jump into an episode and jump out. Like you said with How I Met Your Mother, they have to be so careful with their timeline. They don't want to screw anything up. Each episode has to be intricately written.
Isn't that an amazing thing that a TV show did that? That all the time and the effort went into that? Friends, they didn't even give any shits anymore near, like, after the 7th season. They didn't care. They were just making money. The storylines didn't have to matter anymore.
Sure, best episodes are in season 10.
After season 7, everything went to shit. We can talk about this a little bit more in the writing, but let's just say, how many times did Rachel have to meet Chandler in flashbacks? A lot. She re-met him, like, 5 times.
She's ditzy, so of course she's going to have to, and especially with a Chandler. So
you're ditzy, so you forget that you met someone? You spent 2 Thanksgivings with someone? You forget about that because you're ditzy? Really? Really? How about him? How about him? Is he ditzy? Joel, he's your favorite character. Is Chandler ditzy?
Chandler's not a ditzy character.
But you're saying that he forgot that he met Rachel 3 times before.
Maybe he had a concussion.
What? And they just never talked about
it. He's very klutzy, so it might have happened where he hit his head.
Concussions made him forget that he met somebody. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah.
And they just never talked about it.
It's just something kind of off to the side that they never speak of.
That's what the reunion episode will be.
Yeah,
the
Chandler
story of his concussions.
All right, the next little section is going to be an interesting one, because this will involve all the characters, and this is where I get to have my most fun, character development.
You think you know what? I knew as soon as I sent that message last night that you thought you were going to win with this category, because on our last podcast, you talked about how great development happened in Friends, but guess what? Did it really happen? Nope. I got all these little things coming up that says none of the characters developed at all.
Well, guess what, Mackenzie? You get to go first, so
let's
hear it all.
Let's start with the ditzy character, according to you, Chandler Bing.
Put my feet up.
All right, you go ahead. Put your tiny little legs up. Anyways. okay, so we're starting with Chandler. Chandler turned from being this kind of very scared of commitment to getting tricked into getting married by his crazy girlfriend, to getting tricked into having kids, to tricked into leaving New York. Like, that's not character development, that's just sad.
Okay, can I rebuttal on the Chandler?
Yeah, we'll rebuttal each character. Go
ahead. So, I strongly disagree. strongly disagree. Really? I think that Chandler finally went from a person that couldn't make that commitment. He wanted to propose to Monica. He had a whole plan of lying to Monica.
Or did he get an answering machine saying that they were getting married and that he just had to deal with it? I'm pretty sure that's how that happened.
No, I'm pretty sure he wanted to get the proposal. Why do you think he pretended to freak out, then told Phoebe that he saw the place and he's going to find a ring?
And then why didn't they get married there, Joel? If that's what drew him in, was getting married at that place, they didn't get married there. They got married at a hotel.
Maybe plans change. Maybe prices change. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where they got married. It does.
If you're saying that the reason they got married is because he went to the place and saw it and that he loved it, then that matters. Why didn't they? They should have got married there. It should have been a point.
Chandler, if you told me Chandler got married in the first season, I wouldn't believe you, and I'd be like, yeah, that's not great writing. But Chandler getting married to Monica at that point, he'd finally settled down. He's finally in a relationship that kind of
balanced
him out.
That he was tricked into getting into.
He's not tricked
because
into.
Because he was desperate for love.
They both knew what they were doing in that hotel room in London. Chandler had growth. And he continued to grow. He was scared about being a father, yet he finally came to terms with the twins and the final episode. And the Chandler that we saw at the beginning of the first episode and Chandler at the end of the last episode were similar, but there was growth. Chandler grew from what he was there to what
he was. But how realistic is that, that a character would actually change like that? It's not. That wouldn't happen in real life.
But like you said, it's a TV show, so it's not supposed to play out that way. So, and with every story, there has to be that you start off at one thing and you end up at another. And that's what Chandler did.
If you're claiming that he has concussions, maybe that's how Monica got him to marry her.
Yeah, potentially, those concussions made everything a little foggy, and then Monica helped clear the fog for him.
That was the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Well, it's going to get a lot worse going forward.
It's going to get dumber? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, he admitted it, that he's losing. Okay, let's go to Rachel Green. Or no, should we go to a How I Met Your Mother character then? Like, well...
Let's go to a How I Met Your Mother character.
Yeah, go to a How I Met Your Mother one. Ted. A lot of people... Ted, you want to do Ted next? Okay. I was going to say Marshall, because a lot of people tend to compare them. Although I don't see the comparison between Chandler and Marshall, I don't see it.
But, no, I disagree on that.
I see it between him and Barney, actually. This is a weird thing. I feel like Barney was just Chandler, but they gave him a lot of confidence. Because Barney still does all this, like, really dorky things, but he just is really confident about them.
You know what Barney is? He's the hybrid of the best parts of all the Friends characters, and that's the only reason he's the only relevant
character.
How is he that?
You tell me how he's each of the characters. I guess we're going to Barney now. So
Barney. He's not all the characters. He's Joey Tribbiani, the ladies' man. He's the dorky, goofy Chandler Bing. And he has this super secretive job that he really likes.
Which is the Chandler Bing storyline.
Which
is something
Ross,
that has always
because
pissed me
Ross
off.
Really likes his job. Don't know what he does. And Joey still doesn't know what Ross does, but that's okay. Barney is the only strong character from How I Met Your Mother because he stole from Friends. Like I said, How I Met Your Mother is a ripoff of Friends.
That is untrue.
Totally. Barney has character development. He has growth. But there's this weird thing where he regresses really quickly in season 9 in one episode. And it's really like, wait, what's going on?
Are you talking about when his wife leaves him and he doesn't have a job anymore? And he's not living in New York and he has nothing to do with his life. Are you talking about that regression? Because I feel like if anyone's life fell apart, that they would regress, Joel. That's just a real life thing. It's a TV show, but it would happen.
I'm talking about season 9. With
that happens in season 9.
Him and Robin split off. Like, all this time spent growing him and maturing him. And
people
suddenly in one fell swoop, it's all gone.
Yeah, because that happens. And it's sad, and he would regress. He would. You would want to go back to the time when you were happy. And when he was happy is when he was single and living it up in New York. That's the last time he was happy. So, of course, you would go back to that moment.
I guess. But still, you have all this growth and you don't see him even try to all that goes away. So why waste time developing that character? Joey didn't really grow a lot. You don't hear a lot of people complaining about it. But with Barney, it's like, well, you did all this great stuff with him, and then you tear it away. That's when
they didn't tear it away. They didn't. The man had his life ruined. He, at the beginning of that episode, he had a wife. He was traveling the world with her. He had his blog because he had recently quit his job because they were fraud. And he had, like, he had his whole life together, but he wasn't happy. And so when she left him and took all that stuff away, he wasn't happy anymore. So of course he went back to who he used to be. And that, in a way, is character development, because it shows that he was a real person with real feelings, and that would happen to any of us.
And this is why he is the only good character from How I Met Your Mother.
All right, well then, let's go back to a Friends character, and then okay. We'll talk about the good characters again.
Oh, that's good. Let's talk about Phoebe Buffay.
Playing that card early, are we? Because you know she's my favorite character.
You know, sometimes I have to be sneaky.
You gotta play it dirty, I guess. Let's talk about that wingnut. She thought a cat was her mother, Joel. That's not good writing. That's just stupid.
That's plenty good writing. If it's into her quirkiness. And it's a coping mechanism.
A mother. That's not a coping mechanism. That's just stupid.
That's a coping mechanism.
And then they had like, that her mother that committed suicide wasn't her real mother, and that it was this lady living in Montauk. Like, what the fuck?
Well, sometimes...
Oh, wait, can I swear?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Just fire away. It's all, Phoebe, that was a great little story for Phoebe. Her world is really screwed up.
It is, which doesn't make sense that, like, there's this really weird episode that I always hate when, oh yeah, it's Monica and Rachel, not Monica, Phoebe and Rachel are competing to who will be maid of honor at Monica's wedding. And Phoebe says something about how her mother committed suicide. Rachel goes, oh, you can't use that twice in 1 week. Like, you already used it to get the blueberry muffin. Like, you wouldn't do that in real life. She wouldn't treat her mother's suicide as such a light conversation piece. They made it into a joke too much, and that's inappropriate.
Again, a TV show. Like you said, is it just a TV
but
show?
No, but it's inappropriate that the writers did that, and it was inappropriate that Phoebe treated her mother's suicide like that. That's more than it being a TV show.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you that at times, Phoebe's mom's suicide gets used maybe a little too much, but there are real moments where you see that Phoebe, like she when she got married to Mike, it was finally, I want to have that normal life. I don't want to be in this.
You know what? I listen, I'm a total dork, and I listen to the commentary on those DVDs by the directors and the writers, and Marta Kaufman herself said that the only reason Paul Rudd was brought in to the cast is because he needed an ending for Phoebe. That there was no big storyline there. They just needed her character to have an ending. That is such shitty writing, and that is not character development. That's them needing to wrap up the show.
Here's the thing with that. They knew they had to wrap up most of these character storylines heading out, because they knew that season 10 was the end. So, of course, they're going to bring someone in to do that. Everyone's going to be like, okay, this character, this is how we're going to wrap this character up.
Did they need to bring in this random guy, though? Because Phoebe was famous for these like little love stories that she had. She never had a committed relationship, and they talk about that. But she had these fantastic little love stories. Like, Charlie Sheen is a character that I don't think we talk about enough. When he comes, and he's like the sailor or something, right? And he was supposed to come back and love, like, be in love with her again. That would have made an incredible ending if he had come back and she had left with him. That would have been amazing. It would have been more amazing if she actually had ended up with David. And I know that they had that episode where she has to choose. But it would have made more sense if she had ended up with David, because they had history. And that would have made it this, like, fairy tale thing, and it would have made it a terrific TV show. Mike was just boring.
Mike's not that bad. I think that Mike was a very good character to finally balance Phoebe out. There's nothing crazy about him. He's a normal human being. Boring.
Oh, is it normal to give up your law practice for that you can become a piano player that has one gig in the entire series that he's in? Is that normal, Joel?
Because sometimes you gotta give things up to chase your true passion.
That's not normal, though. That's like, it's a crazy Phoebe thing to do, that she would do that. So he doesn't balance her out.
He balances her out, because he's not...
But then how is that character development, that she needed to have a guy balance her out? Shouldn't her development have been her trying to balance herself out?
I think within regards to that, yes, that's true. But I think that with
Phoebe... Oh, and in regards to the fact that we're talking about character development, so maybe the fact that I just won that one, because we're talking about character development.
You know what? I'll concede the Phoebe one. I'll concede it.
Get ready for Joey, because that character didn't grow either.
Ted Mosby.
Ted. You can start. Look, what do you have to say about him? The best character in the entire world.
Whiny baby who lives in this world where, oh my god, I need to find someone that I can live with the rest of my life in his 20s. He's not trying to grow his career. He's not too concerned about anything else in his life. It's, I have to meet Miss right
because
now.
Because that's the point of the show, Joel. Is that it's him trying to find his wife. Without that, there's no TV show. Without him trying to find his wife, there's no point to How I Met Your Mother.
He is one-dimensional.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not, because meanwhile, while he's all trying to find his wife, he's actually falling in love with Robin. And we all know that she's not going to be the wife, because the kids call her Aunt Robin. And so it's like this really crazy thing to watch this character talk about how he has to find his wife. Meanwhile, we physically see him falling in love with Robin. Doesn't matter what relationships he's in, he's falling in love with Robin. While he was with Stella, he was still falling in love with Robin. And that's a crazy, wonderful storyline, that you can still fall in love with someone and not realize it.
Crazy, wonderful storyline. What about when he cheats?
Victoria? Victoria? We're going to play that card. Okay. Yeah. Well, did he really cheat on her, though? Because I don't think anything happened. They were just planning on it happening, and that's not really cheating. Meanwhile, Victoria was also cheating on him in Germany. But that's besides the point. Two wrongs don't make a right. I'm not arguing that. Ted made a mistake, and that makes him a good character. That makes him more than one-dimensional, Joel. You just proved my point for me. He has flaws. He cheats on a woman who he could have loved, with a woman who would never give him everything that he wanted. That's a huge flaw in a character, and that's what made him interesting.
Ted's whiny. Ted's complaining. Multiple times, Ted doesn't care about his friends. They're just merely there to facilitate.
When does that happen? You give me a time that that happens.
Anytime he goes through a breakup, anytime something goes wrong, he's big, mopey Ted that has to sit at the center of attention. He's never concerned about what's going on with anyone else's life. It's Ted finding that one true love. That's it for Ted.
So you're saying none of the Friends characters ever did that?
Friends at least supported each other.
No. How about that time that Chandler was going through his breakup with Kathy, who's a terrible character, by the way. That whole storyline is fucked. And he draws all the friends in. Phoebe's currently pregnant, and he brings her to a stripper club because he's dealing with a breakup. Like, that doesn't make sense. That's selfish.
She wanted to go. They offered to take Chandler.
Because he was laying around their house without any pants on. That's inappropriate.
They offered to help him out.
Chandler and Monica use Joey as a pawn in their sick little relationship game? That wasn't fair to Joey.
That wasn't fair to Joey at all, but they learned from it and they stopped doing it. And Joey got his revenge in the end.
They did not stop doing it. They got caught. There was nothing. They didn't stop doing it on their own. They got caught when Phoebe, Rachel, and Joey played that little game with them. And they got caught in their web of lies. They were never going to come out if it wasn't for that episode.
Joey eventually got them. Because he eventually...
How did he get them? Rachel and Phoebe did that, not him.
Whatever.
That's how you know that you lost, when you say whatever.
I don't think I'm losing.
But you are. And if you want to talk about whiny characters, let's jump over to Ross Geller. His catchphrase for the first, like, 3 seasons was his, like, depressed, hoi, or whatever it was that he used to do when he answered the door. That was such a depressing fucking thing. Get over it. Your wife was a lesbian. Nobody cares.
You know what? I'll concede Ross. He's whiny. He's selfish. When we look at the friend spectrum, he's not exactly a... stand-up guy sometimes, especially with the We Were on a Break. Yeah. Ross is probably one of those characters. Like, I know him and Rachel were the center figures, but they're probably the two characters that I weren't big fans of.
They're majorly flawed because they're all centered around, and they don't develop at all. His character is that, like, in the first season, he's moaning over a woman. He's moaning over the fact that his wife left him. And in the last season, he's moaning over the fact that Rachel didn't say goodbye to him. And that, like, that whole thing about how she said this emotional goodbye to everyone else, but not him. He's constantly, like, whining over the woman. And that's just, it's so depressing to watch. It's stupid.
Oh, and you know what? I agree with you. Ross, and even coming into this, I was like, Ross is going to be... Ross, there's not much I can defend about Ross.
Because, yeah. I've read a few articles, actually, on Friends, because, again, I'm a nerd and I Google things. But he's actually been voted, like, from a bunch of other TV shows, How Much Mother Wasn't Completed in this article. But he was the number one most hated character on TV in the 90s.
Well, yeah. Like, I don't disagree at all. And Ross, there's nothing I can... There's no argument in this world that I can give for Ross Geller.
So you're admitting defeat?
Yep, for Ross Geller, I'm admitting defeat.
Okay.
But it's pretty simple, because if everyone else votes Ross is not the greatest, and I see him, and I'm like, eh, you kind of get yourself in these situations, pal. I've got no argument for him. He did not give me anything to go, well, I can make this point.
Fair enough. I guess. I won the Ross Geller versus Ted Mosby.
Ted Mosby's still a whiny, whiny character.
Not as much as Ross, but okay.
Let's go to one of my favorite characters from How I Met Your Mother, Lily. She's manipulative. She uses people to get to her end goal. And she has these little plans where she's like, this is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to play out. It has to be Lily's way or no way.
Isn't that so interesting to have a character like that? It's really interesting for a TV show to have someone who practically... The way you're describing her as a villain. And I'm not going to lie, she does do shady shit that's not okay. You're describing her as a villain, but yet we all love her. If Lily had died, that would have been a tragedy. If she had been kicked off the show and like they had to get rid of the character, that would have been sad. It would have wrecked the show. So it's amazing that they did this thing where they have a really terrible personality. Like, she doesn't have great traits, but they made people care about her. They made her a storyline.
Okay, they made her interesting. But still, if you look at it, would you want Lily in your life?
Yeah, I would. Because, like, yeah, you're right. She does manipulate all of Ted's relationships. But when you think about it, that first relationship that she manipulated, what was the girl's name? It's the girl from that 70s show that plays her.
Karen
or something, right?
Yeah.
Karen. Was Ted meant to be with Karen? She was terrible to him. She helped Ted out. It wasn't about her. It was about Ted. She was like, she needs to get, like, Karen needs to go, Ted can do better, like, we're so young, let's get rid of Karen. So she got rid of her. And then later when she does it with Robin, she does it for both of them because she knew that at that time, those two characters were not meant to be together.
But that's meddling in something you shouldn't meddle.
None of the Friends characters ever meddled in each other's lives? Are we playing that card? Phoebe refers to herself as the puppet master.
Yeah. And something we can bring up we've already gone through Phoebe.
Yeah.
Yes, there are characters, like, would I really want to hang out with Phoebe? Probably not. I wouldn't want to hang out with Lily at all, because I wouldn't want someone meddling in my life. But yeah, I'm going to make choices on my own.
But sometimes you make stupid choices, Joel.
Yes, I have made stupid choices before.
If Lily had been in Ross's life, maybe he wouldn't have been married 3 times.
But then Ross learns something at least.
Oh, does he learn something from each of these relationships, his weddings?
Because he learns not to say someone else's name at the altar, so.
Oh god, that was just a terrible storyline. But we'll get into that one in the writing. We're talking about Lily's development, though. We're not talking about if she's a good person.
But that is ultimately...
No, it's not. We're not. Lily. We're not talking about her character traits, Joel. We're talking about if she developed over the 9 seasons.
And she did.
In season 1, she leads Marshall to go pursue her own dreams, which is a great female character, by the way. Bravo, How I Met Your Mother writers. That was a very strong thing for her to do. And then she has to come back, because obviously she comes back to New York. It's her home. She grew up there. And she comes back, and she has to get Marshall back, which kind of proves my point of earlier about how neither of them settled for each other, because she had to earn his trust back. He wasn't just going to take her back. She had to earn his trust back. And then over the rest of the series, you kind of see her grow from being that really selfish person into being a mother and loving everybody and giving Ted those pep talks and them kind of having that strong brother-sister relationship that's nothing romantic between them. And that's a great character development, because by the end of season 9, she's living her dream job, which is a strong character again. But she also has her family. She learned to have both, which is something she didn't know how to do in season 1.
She's still, like, there wasn't a whole, Lily, to me, when I looked at it, from Lily for episode 1 to Lily to the finale, is still Lily, the same Lily. There's nothing that changed. There's no aha moment.
But the reason she leaves Marshall is because she didn't know how to have that family and have her career. But by the end of season 9, they're living in Italy with their 2 kids, eventually 3 kids, right? They have 3. And she still has her great career. Like, she still got her job in the end. She learned how to balance her life out.
I don't know. I'm not sold on Lily at all. Like, I still, like, and it's no knock against, like, the choices she made. Obviously, there are certain choices that she had to make. I just didn't see too much growth in that character.
But I just pointed out the growth to you. That's more than a lot of the Friends characters had.
Friends had, like, if we're going to talk about growth, I think the strongest character that had growth was Chandler and Monica.
Yes.
From Friends.
No, Chandler, not so much Monica. But we're going to get to Monica. Right now we're talking about Lily, so
but
calm down.
I look at Lily and I go, I just don't see it. You can say it to me all you want. I just don't see it, and I didn't feel like she grew.
Fair enough, but she did, and I guess we'll let the amazing audience of Stick Boy Podcast, who I'm sure are all great people, and will choose the right decision because they're all brilliant of who won. But I'm pretty sure I won.
Yeah, they'll be smart, and they know who to choose. So don't
worry. They're all very nice people, I assume.
So let's get to Robin.
Okay. Wait, we just went from Lily. So
oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's go to Monica, because we were just talking about her.
Okay.
How did she didn't change. She's kind of like the same thing you were talking about Barney, how all of a sudden she had so much growth, and then they took it away. Because in season 1, she's kind of very baby crazy. We see that a little bit when Ross is having his baby, and she makes a comment about the lady carrying away with twins. And then later she actually has twins, which is a pretty funny writing thing that I just realized now as I was talking. Good job, Friends writers. But and it's like she had all this development about her career and like what kind of person she was and learning not to be so OCD and loving Chandler for what he was and not what she wanted to make him. And then all of a sudden in season 10 she got baby crazy again, and it was constantly about doctor's appointments and adoption agencies and all this, and she turned back into that crazy person from season 1.
No, she didn't.
You can't just say that. You need an argument. You just can't disagree with me, Joel.
I disagree, but I'll explain. Carry on. I apologize.
You can't just... Yeah, that's not fair. I'm going to do that to you when you start talking. How did she... Okay, I want to hear it now. How did she change them so much? Because season 1, she's complaining not having a baby, and season 10 is all about her having babies.
But that's because that's what her and Chandler wanted.
But they should have wanted more than that. If her big thing was about accepting Chandler for who he was and just loving him for that, not trying to change him, then they shouldn't have had a kid. I know that sounds rough and harsh because they deserved a kid and I'm glad they got one. But maybe she should have just accepted their life for what it was and it was just going to be them.
But that's not what Chandler wanted. Chandler wanted a kid.
Well, then maybe she couldn't have kids, and maybe he should have accepted that.
But there are other options, and they even said, we can give someone else a good home that we can love and care for.
But it shouldn't have been about that. That's their only storyline in season 10, is that they're trying to have a kid. That's not interesting. That's boring as fuck.
But that sometimes is...
And then for Courtney Cox to actually be pregnant on the last episode, that was weird. A good thing for that show, how that show should have ended, was her actually getting pregnant. I think that would have been adorable. Like, they actually have their twins from the adoption, but then she finds out that she actually is pregnant because all she ever wanted was to be pregnant.
But here,
this McKinsey side note, though.
My thought on that. I don't disagree with you that maybe it should have just been Monica ultimately becoming pregnant. But I think they kind of reached out and showed that sometimes people can't have kids. Sometimes it just doesn't work due to science. And you have to find other avenues.
If her whole thing was about how she just accepted Chandler and accepted their relationship for what it was, then they should not have kids.
Why, though?
Because it just, that would have been her character development, that she learned that she didn't need kids because she had Chandler.
But that...
I got you there, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I'm dumbfounded.
I just made that up on the spot, too, and that was pretty impressive.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it was impressive that you were able to, I give you that. But here's the thing. The growth doesn't necessarily mean closing the door on one thing and going, well, this isn't what I want.
But you said that that's what it meant for Chandler.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, you did, because if he's leaving his kind of playboy ways and not being committed to all of a sudden being committed, that means he's closing the door and being a playboy. What a terrible term for that. I think someone needs to come up with a new term.
We'll work on that. I think for each character it's different, and that's one thing. Some characters, they need to leave the past behind. They need to close that door. But other characters, and that's one thing, you can't have all the characters close the door on everything in their past, because sometimes that's what they're still working towards. I think with Monica, that she always wanted to be a mother, and Chandler wanted to be a father. Deep down, he wanted to eventually settle down and find that normality in life. Because he never had that. He never had a steady home life. He wanted to have that and help build that. And Monica, that's always been her goal. And
which is sad. Well, that's a sad character. That's her only goal in life? We were just talking about how Ted's only goal in life was to find the love of his life. And you said that was sad.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with Monica. I think she had more than one goal. I really think... Because she became a successful chef in New York. And we see several episodes centered around her cooking. Her needing to be a host. Keeping things clean. She had goals in her life that she wanted to do. She wanted to cook. She wanted to have a husband. She wanted that white fence, white picket fence, family of 2.5 kids. She wanted that American dream.
How are you having 2.5 kids? You explain that to me right now. How is she only having half a kid?
Because that's what they always said.
How are you only having half a kid? No one ever said 2.5 kids. That doesn't make sense. How are you only having half a child, Joel? What half is running around?
Because either you have two kids or you have three kids.
What? It was just that statistic. Two or three. You don't say 2.5. That doesn't make sense.
It's just that statistic out there that you have, on average, people have 2.5 kids. Because either they have two or they have three. It's that kind of the averaging out.
You're just making stuff up.
I am not making
stuff up. Back to your point.
She wanted to have that life. And so did Chandler, because Chandler never had that.
Right, which is his character development, that he realized he wanted that. Where's her character development? You can't honestly tell me that her character from season 1 was perfect, and her character in season 10 has not changed. So if you're telling me her character in season 1 isn't perfect, then her character in season 10 isn't perfect, because nothing changed. There was no character development for Monica Geller.
Sure there was. She learned to accept that certain things she can't control. And she can't be always cleaning.
How about when they hired the maid in season 10, and she can't let that maid clean the house? That's not character development. She's still really crazy about cleaning.
But the maid still cleans the house, though.
The closet where the closet's really dirty and, like, they think Richard's in the closet. That's not character development. She won't let Chandler put his stuff in there still. She's still that crazy cleaning lady. So there's no character development there.
She grew from point A to point B.
How, though? You haven't told me how. You can't just say that. I told you how she hasn't.
She went from this lady that was, like, she'd never have looked at a guy like Chandler. She always had to find that one guy that was going to give her everything she wanted, and she didn't recognize what was right in front of her. And she makes an effort with Chandler. And Chandler makes an effort with her, and they come to compromises, and they work together on certain things but Monica, at the beginning, wouldn't have.
So then that's a relationship development, then. We've already talked about that. Don't go back there. Don't go back to how
she
says
Abraham. But that's still tied to the character development.
No,
that's
it's
tied
not
to how
because...
Monica behaves.
So you're saying that Chandler controlled her?
No, but it's still that.
Wow, what a very sexist show. Can we also talk about how Chandler actually probably is gay, but since it was made in the 90s, that they wouldn't talk about it?
There were talks about making Chandler gay.
So then why didn't they? They can't do that to a character.
Sure they can. There's plenty of shows where they can have it. And that's one thing with How I Met Your Mother that we'll get to later. They stepped the course when they should have maybe steered off course a little bit and gone, we had it one way, but this will work better. Because sometimes the story develops.
If you're talking about the ending, I have a point to argue the point that you're trying to make. Let's get back to Monica. She did not grow. Let's go to the next character. It's Robin.
Okay, Robin. She's a strong character.
She's one of, no, you said that Barney's the best character. I would argue that it's Robin.
I think the two of them, definitely, if we look at all the characters between Marshall, Lily, Ted, Barney, and Robin, I think it goes Robin, Barney, then Robin. I think Robin's was a very fun character, but what growth did she have?
Well,
because we don't know if she's going to get married to Ted and settle down.
No, and I don't think they do get married. I really don't, but that's besides the point. I think they just end up together. We'll talk about that in the final part of this. So Robin is definitely my character from How I Met Your Mother. She's the reason I started watching the show, because someone said to me, hey, like, you remind me a lot of this character, and I had never seen the TV show. So I watched it because of her. I was like, oh, I need to find out if I am like this character, which I'm not. That's besides the point. I still think she's a great character. But she did grow, because in season one, all she cared about was her career. In season 10, she got her career. So there's her character development, that she finally got her career. But it's kind of in the same way that Lily did, is that she realized she wanted more than her career. She wanted the love. She wanted to be with Barney because she thought she loved Barney and that they could make that work. And when it didn't work, she didn't revert back like he did. She kept trying to like live that happy life, and she kept pushing. And eventually she did get it. She does get Ted.
Here's the thing with Robin. Robin had no growth. She's still the same person that she started off with.
How
and she ends.
How is she?
Because
she how she is. She finally got her career. She's the runner of like not GNB. What is it? What does she work for?
See, I fell asleep during a lot of How I Met Your Mother, so I don't know.
She works for like it's a made up one, obviously, but I think it's supposed to be like a Good Morning America.
She got her job, all well and good, but she's still the same.
But that
person.
Was her goal, is to get her job. She. Her character developed to having that job, but also realizing that she can't just have a job, that isn't enough for her.
She's still... Then why did she break up with Barney?
Because they weren't happy together. It had nothing to do with her, and it had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with them as a couple. They weren't happy. She saw that he wasn't happy there. He couldn't blog or whatever he wanted to do because the hotel didn't have internet. They hated when they were apart from each other. They just didn't make sense anymore. They had done their time together. They were happy during some of it. They weren't during the rest. And at the end of the day, they made the adult decision and the realistic decision that they should not be together anymore, which is a decision that a lot of Friends characters should have made, but didn't.
Sure they did. Ross and Rachel, they knew that there were fights,
no.
But ultimately they were like...
Otherwise they wouldn't have ended up together, Joel. They broke up because he cheated on her. That's not realizing that they shouldn't be together.
But the second time that they got together...
It's because he wouldn't admit that he cheated on her. That's the second time they got together. We'll talk about that in the writing, because really, how long did Ross and Rachel actually date? I think it was like a week. They do not date for very long.
Back to Robin. She just didn't... To me, she didn't grow. She was still the same person that she started off with, and she ended with.
But how? She went from being, like, it was a local news thing that she was on, to having her dream job, and realizing that she needed love, that there was more to life than her job.
But did she really realize that?
How did she not, though? You realize that when she talks to Lily at the Halloween party and says, that now I have to look at the guy with his beautiful mother of his children, but he's the guy I probably should have ended up with. She realized in that moment that she needed the love of Ted, that she needed that in her life, that without it, she wasn't going to actually be happy.
Okay, that's a fair point.
And with that, Mackenzie won.
You're going to keep score, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm letting the beautiful and wonderful fans of Stick Boy Podcast decide.
Just remember, if you want to keep this podcast going, it's a smart way to vote. No, vote how you want. I'd much rather have honesty than...
I wouldn't. Vote for me and I'll pay you all.
See, there we go. If you want some money, vote for Mackenzie. Characters.
Who are we? Okay, because it's hard because there's less characters in How I Met Your Mother than there is in Friends.
Yeah.
Because Friends needed a lot of characters to make up for their shitty writing. I guess we're at Joey.
Yeah, Joey's the last one, and you know what?
The worst one for you to end up with, because you've already admitted that he did not grow at all.
Joey didn't grow.
There
were moments where you thought Joey Tribbiani grew a little bit. He finally figured out that he did want something like a serious relationship, where before, when the first episode, he would have just slept with anyone. But going through that,
Joey always wanted a serious relationship, but they never gave it to him. In that one season, when Chandler thinks that he's going to end up alone, and he says to Joey, "Can I like spend Christmas with you guys?" He's like, "Oh, well, what if we're spending Christmas at my wife's house?" So he totally wanted the white picket fence from day one. He was just having fun being in his 20s and wasn't worried about it yet. And the show never gave him the love of his life, which is so unfair.
Sometimes it happens.
Exactly, but it's a TV show, so sometimes that shouldn't happen because it's a TV show, Joel. I want happy endings for my characters. The reason they didn't give Joey a happy ending is because they were doing a spinoff. They wanted to make more money off of him. That is the only reason.
And in that place, they could have had that character development. There was potential for character development for Joey.
I don't think we should talk about the Joey show.
No, we shouldn't.
I don't know if he developed in that character enough, that show.
He didn't develop positively. Let's just say that. Leave it at that. He became kind of a Chandler.
Oh.
Not a funny version of Chandler.
Like a sad version?
Yeah, really sad and pathetic.
Like a Ross version?
Yeah, like a Ross. Like the negative qualities of Ross and Chandler thrown into Joey Tribbiani, who, in a lot of ways, was the heart and soul of the six.
We've talked about that before. He definitely is. That they come to him and they're like, "I have a problem. Like, I need someone to talk to about it." Whereas How I Met Your Mother, they could talk to any of them and have a heart to heart, which is a really great character thing to have. It didn't matter which characters were talking; they could have a heart to heart. Barney and Lily had them. Marshall and Barney had them. Ted and Robin had them all the time. There was constant character connection. Whereas Friends, it was all connected around Joey.
There were still connections between each character.
How many times did Chandler and Rachel just hang out? This joke was made on Community, I believe, where Abed goes to Annie. He's like, "Oh, I thought me and you were like the Chandler and Rachel of the group. Like, we're friends, but we don't really have storylines together." Because that was so true. They don't have storylines together.
And that's okay sometimes.
No, it's not, because that doesn't make sense for the TV show. On How I Met Your Mother, they all had storylines together, because that's the point of it.
But it was really... Robin would pop in there a lot, but it was really about there were smaller characters, so of course they all had to interact.
They weren't smaller characters. I would say that their storylines were bigger, even, than How I Met Your Mother ones. I mean, than Friends ones. And... But yet they all still had, like, this inner connection that they were friends.
But you still felt that the group was friends. Like, the cheesecake was a storyline between Chandler and
Rachel.
That's,
like, such a little storyline. And as soon as I said the thing about Rachel and Chandler not having any, I'm like, he's going to talk about the cheesecake one. That is one storyline in 10 years. And it's a tiny one. Did they sell cheesecake together? What? What?
But here's the other thing. Like, they still had conversations and they still talked together.
Barely. Often Chandler would say something stupid and Rachel would just look at him and then continue on with whatever story she was telling. They did not have storylines. The biggest one that they had, which you actually haven't brought up, is when he dates Rachel's boss and ends up handcuffed to the desk.
That was a good episode.
that's a great episode, especially for them together, because it kind of showed this great relationship that they could have. But Friends never built on that. They could have had more episodes with them doing kind of Chandler getting to a situation and Rachel having to bail him out. That would have been funny because the characters are so different that they would have contrasted really well.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't know. The Joey thing, I feel like, is not so much character development, but I feel like you said, it was a cash grab, and I feel like there was potential for something more with Joey Tribbiani.
Oh, definitely. I would have liked to have seen him have kids and have, like, that big Italian family, like, that he grew up with. I would have liked to have seen that, and then, like, his kids play with Chandler's kids. Like, that would have been nice. But it didn't happen because shitty writing, which leads us to our next point. Let's talk about the writing.
Ooh, that's going to be fun. The writing for Friends is stronger.
The writing for Friends is not stronger.
Writing for Friends is stronger.
We're talking again about how many times Rachel met Chandler. They're the two characters we keep talking about for some reason. I think that they're just the worst anyways. But so they meet on the first episode. They introduce themselves to each other. Like, you can argue that she's frantic because she just left her wedding. But, like, so she introduces herself to Chandler. Also to Ross, which is a little weird. Like, Monica does say, oh, you remember my brother Ross. But she goes to introduce herself as if they weren't close.
They weren't close at that time.
No, but they had grown up together. You would think that they're close. Like, you wouldn't have to reintroduce yourself to your neighborhood friend. Like, that would be weird.
If years had gone by, then yeah.
No, well, not. Did she really reintroduce herself to Monica?
Well, she was desperately looking for Monica.
Why wasn't she desperately looking for Ross?
Because
also grown up together. So
Rachel was closer to Monica because they went to school together.
They went to school with Ross.
But Ross was a year ahead of them.
Oh, fine. All right, I'll give you that one. She was looking for Monica. That's why she reintroduced herself. We're talking about Chandler and Rachel. And then you see a flashback to the Thanksgiving episode, which is one of my favorite episodes when Monica's fat and then gets skinny for Chandler. And there's all these little jokes. But she reintroduces herself as if she didn't know him. And then they do another flashback to back when the coffee house was a bar. And she reintroduces herself again to Chandler as a complete stranger that he was trying to sleep with her. That's three separate times that they have had to meet.
No, I'll give you that. There were flashbacks are hard to do. And hard to keep everything kind of...
You know what show did it really well? How I Met Your Mother.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. All their flashbacks are so perfect. Even the costume changes. If you watch some of the flashbacks, the characters will be wearing the same outfits they did on that episode. And it's not like a refilming of the episode. They redid everything to key to make sure it all made sense.
Yeah. I think my biggest point with How I Met Your Mother was it went three seasons too long.
Oh, and Friends didn't? The idea of Friends is that it's these 6 20-year-olds living it up in New York. They can make all these dating mistakes. And it's really funny to watch them screw up their lives because you know that they can fix them, that there's time for them to fix their lives. But by the time they're in their 30s, it's just sad that they're messing up their lives. Even Matt LeBlanc himself said that there will never be a Friends movie because the idea of Friends was that it was young and fun and that it won't make sense if they're old. That it won't be entertaining to watch old people mess up their lives. And by the end of season 7, that's what they were.
I still think it was, I think at its core, that's what Friends started out to be. But I think Friends really was that going through life, learning from your mistakes, and you're going
to
make
mistakes. Which is entertaining for them to watch when they're in their 20s. But by the time they're in their 30s, if you're still making those stupid mistakes over and over again, it's kind of like, why haven't you learned from this already?
I feel like they learned, and they always didn't make the same mistakes over and over. Some of them did. Some of them continuously made not the right choices.
Three marriages Ross Geller had. Three.
Did I really defend Ross, though?
No, but now we're defending the writing. That is such a shitty writing strategy to have him continuously mess up his weddings.
That's because at the end of the day, he's always meant to be with one person.
Then why didn't he stay married to Rachel? Why couldn't they have, like, found a way to wrap that up together at that point?
Because there's a certain point where you have to write, where you have to go, we have to put this off for a little bit longer. Let's fill this up.
To make money. And it's still money.
It's still funny watching. And it's still an interesting story watching.
Are you throwing stuff around? What is that? Are you just so angry that you're throwing stuff?
Yeah,
that you're losing?
I'm just taking stuff and juggling and throwing things. Just, I think that the writing for Friends was good.
There's but you can't just say that. You need a point. I have points, Joel.
They
had
solid
that.
Jokes. They have solid episodes that you can go back and watch. And you don't have to watch the episode before or episode
Same
after.
With How We Met Your Mother. It's not like there's these concrete episodes that you need information for.
You do kind of need. You can't jump around with How I Met Your Mother because you could suddenly jump into
can.
The episode where Marshall and Lily have broken up. And you're like, what the hell's going on?
No, because the show... Okay, so the show was such a big deal that everyone watched it, especially when we get to the final episode, there's this moment where you know that everyone in the world who was watching it, I'm not saying everyone watched it, but everyone in the world who was watching it, that they all waited in anticipation to find out who that mother was. We were all waiting. How I Met Your Mother had that. Not saying the Friends didn't have that. They did. There was a moment when Ross was choosing which door he was going to go into, Rachel or Bonnie's.
Yeah.
But the reason that I'm trying to make here is that because How I Met Your Mother was such a big deal, we all know that Marshall and Lily break up at some point. We all know that the mother dies. Like, we all know that. That's a big thing. It happened. And so you can watch it whenever you want because it was such a big pop culture thing. We live in the world of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter that we all know what the show's about. You don't need the storyline. You can just watch it.
But that's poor writing if you don't need the storylines.
You just said you don't need the storyline for Friends. You
but you get the storylines because you see the show and you know, okay,
what?
he wants to be with her. He wants to be with him. We know
what?
That. Who? With How I Met Your Mother, if you're telling me that the storylines aren't important, then you defeat
No, they
your-
are important. Because it's this thing where you can jump in and watch it and be like, oh, this is when Lily had just left Marshall. Like, let's watch this episode. I really like this one when they're trying to figure their life out. That's important. We should watch this. A storyline that is so stupid that Friends has is how the hell does Joey afford the apartment that he lives in? There's no way in any world that you would pay for your friend to live in an apartment.
Chandler apparently did.
No, but that's stupid writing, Joel. Why would that happen? That wouldn't happen. And the apartment that Monica and Rachel live in is ridiculously big. It would not be that big in New York.
You know what? Sometimes you just... And they got it off a sublet from their grandmother. They got a
but
discount.
But that's a stupid story. That was a stupid cover. People realized that it was crazy. And they're like, oh, we need a cover. We'll write this in quickly.
And it's a good cover.
But it's...
Because it could happen.
It really couldn't, though. It couldn't be that big.
Yeah, dude.
And then them living with weird animals. They live with a monkey at one point and a chicken, a duck. Like, that's how you get diseases, Joel. One of them should have died.
What about the goat? The goat bites
the goat. They talk about that. They talk about that. He has to go into the doctors and stuff. They talk about how dangerous that was.
Here's a question.
Do they live with the goat? Do they live with the goat? You tell me.
No, they did not live with the goat.
So how is that a fair rebuttal to them living with a monkey?
They wrote the monkey off pretty quick. Marcel was
not
really...
pretty, not quick enough. That was like two seasons of the monkey.
That wasn't two seasons of the
it
monkey.
It was two seasons.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was, because nope. He may leave at the end of the one season. But Ross is mourning his, like, him being gone for a really long time in the next. And then he comes back for, like, that one episode with Julia Roberts. So they continuously talk about the monkey.
Marcel was a big part of Ross's life.
Which is weird. That's a weird storyline.
Here's my question to you. How many standalone How I Met Your Mother episodes are there for you? How many
There's
quotes?
There's a million. Quote?
Yeah.
You want to do quotes right now?
Yeah, let's
do
quotes.
Joel, you're going to lose, though, because people actually get How I Met Your Mother tattoos of the quotes. Nobody quotes Friends. Nobody.
I quote Friends.
Yeah, but...
What?
This isn't going to get personal, so... Let's just leave that where it is. You're old, so. Anyways, how about this one? If you're meant to be with somebody, you only need two things, chemistry and timing. But timing's a bitch. That is like the standalone thing for the entire show, that quote. Robin says it one time to Ted, but it makes sense for the entire show. Every episode you can say that. You can relate that quote to every episode, and that's an amazing thing that the show did.
Okay, I give you that, but how about something like trivial, like pivot?
Oh, you're talking about catchphrases.
Catchphrases, quotes, stuff like that.
That's different. But, quotes and catchphrases are different.
Yeah, they're different, but there are little things like that that are so small, yet they catch people's attention. There are shirts that have the word pivot.
How about legendary?
Legendary. I have a legendary shirt. Exactly. Because he's the only good character.
That's a Barney thing. How about lawyered? Fucking Marshall says that, and everyone says it now. That's a big thing. When you prove someone wrong, you go lawyered. And that was How I Met Your Mother.
We were on a break.
You know what? I'm just going to keep saying Barney quotes. I know you've already said that he's the best character, but that doesn't fucking matter. He was still on my show, so I still get to use him. What was another one he did? The high five one. What would he say when he did the high five?
I don't know.
You do know?
I actually don't know.
What does he say?
I think it's just high five.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he does. He says it, like, obnoxiously. He's like, high five. So there you go, Barney Stinson.
Only good character from that show.
But that doesn't matter. He's still a part of my show. So you can think that. He's still a part of my show. Don't try to put him on Friends. He's my show. I get him. Reading a magazine. That was a big catchphrase for How I Met Your Mother. People still refer to that all the time.
Okay.
I've been naming them. You haven't been naming any of yours.
Well, that's because I've been letting you go.
Or because you can't think of any more.
We were on a break.
You already said we were on a break.
I'm thinking. Like now the spotlight's kind of shining. The way Chandler would say something.
Oh, the could you be more wrong?
Yeah. Which you are wrong. But that's besides the point. Could you be more wrong? How you doing?
Okay.
No, how you doing is bigger than... Well, it's bigger than some of the How I Met Your Mother quotes.
Because it was a cheesy 90s thing. No show today would have that in there because it's stupid. We need actual storylines. That is a stupid, stupid catchphrase. Terrible writing on their part.
Terrible writing. They gave an iconic quote.
They gave a catchphrase to a character who was not a cartoon. That is stupid.
So, legendary is a catchphrase.
That is not a catchphrase. Legendary is not a catchphrase.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Because yes, that's just how he feels about his life. That's not a catchphrase.
That's totally a catchphrase.
No, it's not. You can't prove that.
That, to me, is a catchphrase.
While we're on the subject of writing, because we can't just keep saying, yes, it is, no, it isn't, the finale. My writing is better for the finale, and you know it.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, because Friends was very cookie cutter. Oh, we're all together. We're all happy. There's nothing real about that. There's nothing interesting about that. You don't need to watch the last episode of Friends to understand it. You need to watch the last episode of How I Met Your Mother to understand it. That last episode is crucial to the series.
That's because it's so bad.
It's not bad. You know what? I know I have said to you in the past that it is bad, but it's not. Here's why. Because the mother needed to die for the show to even make sense, because why else would the dad be telling them the story of how they met? It's kind of like a kid's, you know, your mother passed away, like, let's talk about her, I'll tell you how I met her, like, it'll be a nice story. And then she needed to die because the love of her life, she had two, died a long time ago, and she... In the end, she kind of ended up with him, and he kind of ended up with Robin, who he had spent his entire life falling in love with. She was the blue French horn. You know what she actually was? She was the purple giraffe. And in the episode, The Purple Giraffe, Robin is doing a story on a little kid who dives inside a vending machine, or like one of the crane machines. I don't know what they're called. I'm 19. I'm too old to know what they're called. And he's trying to get the purple giraffe. He is so concentrated on that. And then a few episodes later, when Robin and Ted finally have like one of their end conversations about if they're going to end up together, the entire cast is wearing the color purple. And that's an amazing writing job, Joel. That's crazy.
Everything, the thing...
Everything connects, and that's amazing for a TV show to do.
They pissed away all of season 9 for that one episode.
Because that one episode was needed, and they didn't piss it away. They needed to show that stuff. They needed to show Lily getting pregnant with her second kid, because you knew that she had more than one kid. They had talked about that in flashbacks. So you needed that. You needed Barney kind of finally talking about what his job is and what he really wants to do with his life. And you needed Robin realizing that life was more than just her career.
But you could have done that in 2 episodes, and then the rest of the season.
No, you couldn't have. That's a lot of character development for 2 episodes, so don't even.
5 episodes.
No, it needed a whole season. Come on, don't be ridiculous.
But the final episode you know so that rushed. They're racing
against... Yeah, it was, because it needed to all wrap up. They didn't want it to be a cash grab. They could have dragged it on for a 10th season like Friends did, but they didn't want to. They wanted it to be over because it was time.
That episode was a rush. That episode, I didn't laugh at that episode. I didn't enjoy that episode.
Because it wasn't a funny episode. It wasn't meant to be funny, that one. The whole point of How I Met Your Mother, I said this at the beginning when I pretended to watch it, is that you laugh, you cry, and you learn something. It was more than a sitcom. It was something better than a sitcom. It was amazing.
No. The Friends finale tied everything up.
Cookie cutter. That is all it is, oh my gosh, we're all going to be happy and end up together. Yay.
But that's what you said you want in your sitcoms. You want happy endings for your characters. And
yeah,
that's what you got for everyone.
I need it to be interesting still. I don't need to watch the last episodes of Friends to understand it. And that's crazy. Why did they even need that then? They could have put that episode in at the end of season 9, and it still would have made sense. Ross and Rachel had no connection at all through season 10, but all of a sudden, he's madly in love with her again?
It's that realization, that fear that, oh crap, I may actually miss out on
this. So then they could have put that in. They could have put that in at any season.
They could have, but it was
a money grab. They were like, let's drag it out. Yes, she could have got that job promotion at any time.
Yep, and then she would, then just like in life, he would have been like, oh crap, I'm losing out on something that I really want. So we've hit on the final episode, we've hit on writing, character development, longevity, romance, opening segments. We've
you
gone
cheated
back
a lot.
We did go through a lot. It's
yeah. And you cheated a lot during this.
I did not cheat a lot.
Kept leaving to go answer a phone call to your grandmother who doesn't exist.
She does exist.
Sure.
So... So let us know who you think won. Just send us a tweet. Send me a tweet at
Hashtag Stickboy versus MJ. And then write your answer.
Okay, so hashtag Stickboy versus MJ. Who won? Was it Friends or How I Met Your Mother? Let us know. And you can find Stickboy at StickboyYYC. You can find me at JoelJohnsonTV on Twitter and Instagram. We'll keep track and we'll tally everything. Make sure you vote for the right one.
Or, no, what, you're not voting for who made the best argument. You're voting, no, what, you are voting for who made the best argument. I was going to say who voted for the best show. You're voting for who did the best argument, because at the end of the day, my favorite TV show is Friends, but I think I made the better argument.
I humbly disagree, but make sure you stay tuned. We'll be back again. There's plenty more TV to be talked about, so Mackenzie will be back. And we will continue to have that periodical... versus, I guess we could probably do this for a few other shows.
Yep, we could. We could do a, we're going to do Captain America versus Iron Man, I guess, when Civil War comes out.
Ooh, I like that. I'm sold on that. You know.
There we go, because we all know who's going to win that one.
Yeah. All right, so make sure you stay tuned to Stickboy. We have wrestling, TV shows. We're going to have talking about The Walking Dead that happened last night. Crazy episode. So make sure you stay tuned and check it out.